Hey, hello, and welcome to Pod a Tog, where we pod a tog. I'm your host, Bugs Matrix.
And I am Jordan Black, also known as Dead Domain in some parts of the internet.
Many parts of the internet, many are saying this. How are you doing today, Jordan?
I am, I'm going crazy, Bugs. We're at the end of the year, right? It's been such a year. It has been of the years, it has been one of the years of all time, certainly.
Many are saying this year is one for the yearbooks.
I don't know if it's good enough for a book, but it has been both inside and outside of Magic a wild ride. And I say that as somebody who has only really been on the ride for kind of less than a year, to the point where when we were going through and I was looking through Scryfall, because we're going to talk today about some of our favorite cards and favorite stuff from the year. I was going through Scryfall and it occurred to me that I wasn't even into Magic enough during Ravnica Remastered to remember that that was also this year.
Oh, yeah, it was, and it fucking rocks. Like, it's been a second since I went over the whole list, but I'm like, man, shit, this was kind of oops all bangers.
Yeah, there, even in stuff like, you know, a lot of people poo-poo the Assassin's Creed set, and I think that's mostly for, like, price reasons, because when you actually look at the set and a lot of the cards in it, there's so much good shit.
They're really fucking cool.
I get every time I play, because I actually have some Assassin's Creed cards. Assassin's Creed was one of the sets that kind of got me back into Magic.
Don't you have the Grixis, like a Grixis Assassin Pirate?
Yeah, I do. I have Edward Kenway. That was the first commander deck I built from the ground up, actually. I need to actually go back to it because it's kind of just like a pile of cards, and I've learned so much about how to actually build a proper commander deck since then. So like when it did stuff, it was very fun. But yeah, that like what a year of Magic.
I think it's actually really funny. This is more of a tangent, but I love that our first commander decks individually were both cards inspired by video game characters, because the first commander deck I ever built was Minsk and Boo.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Mine, yeah. And yeah, not even really on purpose. And I guess my second commander was Astarion. And it wasn't until Vraska, and that was the third deck I built, that I had an actual just Magic character.
Weirdly enough, my second commander deck was Rhea Ivor, so we both went video game character to Orzhov. I am very fascinated by that, actually.
Orzhov is quickly becoming like as a kid, I was all about, okay, Rakdos. You got all the cool red stuff, you got all the cool black stuff, it's all goth and evil and violent.
Yeah.
Orzhov is, I think, far more my speed. As I've started creating sacrifice decks, and my Tesa Karlov deck is just so amazing and vile, and I love her.
Fucking love Tesa Karlov. Like, it's, I hate that she's kind of like, there's only one way you can really build her.
Mm-hmm.
And, or even if you try to avoid building her in any of the traditional ways, like, if left to her own devices, she's just gonna be doing Tesa crap.
Yeah, I'm honestly though, I'm totally okay with that. I love it. I think she's a fantastic card, and especially when you get the thing I really love though is that it's multiple combo pieces that can work well with each other, but not in a way that is immediately annoying or goes infinite. I actually played a very frustrating game last night against somebody who kept blinking a Garuda, Doom of Depths, and
hell yeah,
just like
hell yeah,
milling and stealing, yep, and I yep could not play my fucking. It was just like, this is not fun for anybody.
No, as a degenerate mill player, that's fun for me. Like, if I can see a Garuda pop, like, I don't care. I don't care how much it hurts. Like, please, please see if you can take something funny from me.
See, but that's the thing, is that I was trying out a arguably way dumber deck. I made a Kamigawa commander deck that has a shit ton of splice into Arcane.
Oh, and yes. Okay, if you were trying to test run some nonsense,
yeah,
I could see Garuda being like straight up the worst.
And that's the thing is I should have trusted my gut and gone with the stuff that I knew could actually do stuff even with mill. And so part of that is on me. But yeah, I forgot, how did we even get to this
We
point.
were talking about sick ass combo pieces and
Yes, sick
just
ass combo pieces,
Ravnica
because there are
and
so many of them that came out this year. Yes, that is
or
correct.
and or were reprinted, and God, it's been a fucking okay. So like I like to think of myself as occasionally a very thinky Magic player. I like building unhinged combo. I like doing degenerate graveyard nonsense, but like I just want to jump into like some of my favorite cards that were printed this year. And like, granted, we're starting with Ravnica Remastered, so it's oops, all reprints. And I don't really care because I think that there's a lot of cool shit from Ravnica. And I love Utvara Hellkite so much.
What does that one do? I took
so this
pictures
is
of all the ones on mine, but I do not have Scryfall in front of me.
This is a big fucking hamburger of a dragon.
Okay.
This is a 6/2 red pips flying 6/6 that has whenever a dragon you control attacks, create a 6/6 red dragon creature token
Oh
with
my
flying.
God.
You know, it's just fucking cool. It's a big stupid mythic. Like I got an original printing of one earlier this year from a friend. Like this is the year that I opened with building a Taunos Mill combo, Taunos Soul Survivor, Solemn Survivor, Esper Artifacts combo deck. And it's the
Oh,
year that I
gross.
ended with Big Stupid Dragons. So I had a journey.
Yeah, I mean, like, just like I
Like,
did going from fucking pirates to the just dumb ninja arcane enchantment deck that I just made. Like, yeah.
I love that series of words
Here's
so much.
Here's the thing. If I didn't have half of my library in the graveyard by the time the game ended, it actually, like, kind of did okay for a deck that is a third to half 20-year-old Kamigawa cards.
Are you saying that Kamigawa has the juice?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. In like a 5 or a 6, it might have some amount of juice.
Okay, you know what? So as a vibey pod, I'll. If Kamigawa's Vibe Pod playable, I'm happy.
Oh, it absolutely, like, so I, the reason that I got so hyper fixated on making a Kamigawa deck is I actually finished the Kamigawa cube I had been working on and got to draft it with a partner, which was a lovely experience
Oh,
and
I love
just
that.
reminded me of how weird and unique a lot of Kamigawa is and how much I miss that.
I love fun, weird, self-contained mechanics are something that, like, when they feel good, I'm a big fan of, like, especially in like limb spaces, which we should definitely talk about more for like OTJ and stuff. But do you want to name a favorite card from Ravnica?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with something that is, I think it's pretty classic, but I put it into a deck and it popped off unexpectedly well in my Rakdos Sacrifice deck, and that is Rakdos Lord of Riots, because you can play it on your end step after just like sacrificing something. In the case of that, it was sacrificing a devil to just ping one damage to a player.
Yep, do something with Mayhem Devil.
Exactly. And it actually helped amazingly well because on the end step, it was a cost reducer as well. So I got to play a second creature that I did not technically have the mana for. So that one play really cemented. I'm like, okay, no, this guy stays.
He's
He's friend. He's buddy.
like, speaking of a big stupid meatball, like I love Lord of Riots. Like it's I love that he's like so prohibitively weird to cast,
but it is meant, like, so obviously meant. It's one of those things that you look at and you're like, okay, why would any, what were they thinking when they made this card? And then you see the colors, or you put a deck strategy together and you have it in your hand and you're like, oh, okay, no, that totally, yeah, okay, I get what they were doing.
oh my god.
And next up for you, what do you got?
Oh, shit. I mean, honestly, if we're talking about degenerate combo pieces in red, that actually goes great in a Rakdos deck. Gutter Snipe is one of my good time stinky boys. Like, I will never not. If I'm doing anything in red that
Oof.
wants
Oof.
Pinging damage or just like residual value or is it
Anything
Spellslinger?
is it? Yeah, I was about to be like, anything is it? With this is just
We're gonna,
gross.
yeah, just whenever, yep,
Like,
Gutter Snipe.
you throw that out there and then have like any of those red things that give you another turn. Oh.
Yep. Or just incremental ping value, and it blasts everyone. So Gutter Snipe, for those of you who have not been blessed by my funny little man, is a 2 and a red 2/2 goblin shaman with whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, Gutter Snipe deals 2 damage to each opponent. That'll get you firing off Rakdos pretty easily.
Yeah, it absolutely would. God, that
It's
is
he's just a sick little man.
gnarly, 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 gnarly.
God, am I going to go all in on mono red for my favorite cards from Ravnica
Honestly, I can absolutely see that for you. Another one for me is going to be a bit of a classic, and that is Massacre Girl.
Oh, I love her. I love Murder Lady.
It's so weird that we like technically didn't have a block this year. We don't do the blocks anymore, but between Ravnica Remastered and then Karlov Manor, it kind of feels like we did.
It almost like it, for better and worse, Remastered wasn't, standard legal draftable, and that's probably for better, but yeah, no, like it's, I was literally thinking that earlier today when I'm like, okay, going like, honestly, going from looking at Remastered to immediately then looking at Murders, I'm like, oh, okay, like I see what they're going for a little bit more. Like I can hang a bit more than I could.
I'm in a very similar headspace because as I've been making both a Taysa and a Rakdos sacrifice deck, I've been looking at a lot of good flavor from Ravnica, and then that kind of led me to Karlov Manor set. And
Yeah.
it like there's a lot of stuff in there that like pairs pretty well. And I was talking to a friend about this, and yeah, it is annoying that there are the dumb like meme cards like Red Herring or Thinking Cap and there's a lot of stuff that's just going to be bulk chaff for years and years and years. But
There's
when it
some
hits, like there's some
crazy.
real good banger, and which I guess we'll get to in a minute
We'll
here.
get to in just a moment. We'll get to in just a moment. But Massacre Girl, let's fucking go.
Yeah, I love me some Massacre Girl.
Like, she's just a bomb in the command zone. Like, what more can you want? Like, that's the Aristocrat's finisher.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like it is such a oh, I don't can you oh, that would be a crazy commander to play though.
She's hard to pilot. She's a really interesting political commander,
Oh yeah,
just
like
because
do I need to bring
every
her out?
well, it's like if you do that, I'm going to yeah, like go on, tokens player, make your tokens. I have a like, I've got an Archfiend of the Dross.
Yeah, basically.
She's weirdly bomby. I was trying to build her around trying to do just like this Death of a Thousand Cuts, sort of like the Rack inspired. Like it did not work. It did not work at all. I
No,
absolutely
and
want to revisit it.
I think that's why is she such a like balanced card though, is because if she had another color on there, forget about it. Like she's
Oh my,
like
and I
too powerful.
literally any other color.
Yep,
This
like
is.
you could just supplement this with something,
It's
whether it's
flicker. It's
blinking
even
or
more
growth
graveyard
or
value.
yeah, exactly.
No, like she is beautifully balanced and just she is the Rakdos murder clown.
Yes. And
And she's
the reason that I brought her up is that her second incarnation, Wanted
known
Killer,
killer.
Known Killer, Known Killer.
Known killer because I always misread it as clown killer.
Yes, yeah, is also great in Karlov Manor.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, we can touch on her in a second if you want, because I'm a big fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she is one of the ones I picked from that set for sure.
Yeah, it's in that case, I will give you the entire floor when we talk about her. But I think my last card from Ravnica Remastered, like, man, I love any draft environment where I can cast Krenko. I love
I
Krenko Mob
knew
Boss.
you would say Krenko. I had not a doubt in my mind.
I think that he is just the perfect bouncing baby boy who causes
Ugh.
problems on purpose.
Ugh.
And like, I give me an impact tremors, give me a raid bombardment, give like,
Ugh.
I it's I've gone on about my Krenko stacks deck.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I just think he's neat. I just think making a bunch of goblins that I'm obviously pumping with a couple different lords and have some haste enablers and damage doublers and oops, they're all unblockable for some reason.
God, that is so I'm trying to think of anything I have that would even really be able to stand up against that. And
every counterspell known to man and a gun.
Like, I think my Kalia deck is the only thing that would really stand a chance, and that's on a good day where I could do what that deck's supposed to do, which is just put out Kalia, put out Avacyn, tutor for more demons and shit, and then just, there's like 6 or 7 board wipes in that deck. Just continue blowing everything away.
Yeah, like, you need to crater Krenko from orbit.
Yes. He's like a 3-drop or 2-drop or something?
When I play him, he's a 3-drop. He's 2 and 2 red. Granted, this was when the deck was, like, CDH tuned, and also when, like, Jeweled Lotus and shit was legal in the format, so he's no longer quite as heinous, but I have cast a Krenko turn 1, player 1 before, and...
That is just vile. Just vile.
Yeah, it's great. I'm normal and can be trusted around red cards.
Oh, I feel like I'm learning such a darkness about you.
It's only going to get worse as we get further into the year.
Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubts. And I think my last one is actually a simple one, but it is Skewer the Critics.
Oh, God, yes.
Which is, I think, just a... It's so... Going through a lot of bulk, making decks and stuff, and you come across so many cards that are, like, relatively similar to other cards, but they take advantage of things that are, you know, unique to sets. And Spectacle is such a fun mechanic, and I wish it would come back.
It's so Rakdos.
It literally is. Like, it is one last little fuck you in a turn, basically.
It's so fucking good. No, I especially like Skewer the Critics being at sorcery speed in particular for me really does just like it's a parting shot.
Exactly.
It's a haymaker in a deck that I'll talk about later.
Oh boy.
Oh, get hyped. But do we want to move into murders?
Yeah, and speaking of Rakdos, and I really do think, like, the most fun, maybe not the most optimal, but between Karlov Banner and Ravnica Remastered, Rakdos was kind of where it's at for me. Like, when I really look down the list of everything, I'm like, man, this is, like, all these little things you can ping, all these little sac outlets or sac generators. And my favorite, one of my favorites, is the commander of my sacrifice deck. That is Judith Carnage Connoisseur.
Oh, you mean the life gain freak that turns Blasphemous Act into, like, one of the most heinous things you can do to a full board?
I have never done that, but what have done, that does sound delightful. I have, however, created a bunch of red imp tokens, and when somebody was about to swing at me and end the game, sacked them all to, I believe, Raid Bombard. Was Goblin Bombardment? What's the one that pings?
Goblin Bombardment is the pinger. Raid Bombardment's the one that triggers on attack.
Okay, yes. It was Goblin Bombardment, sacking them and then winning. It is... My only gripe with this card, and I think it is, she's very much a glass cannon in Commander, especially if you're doing token stuff, because she costs 5 to come out, and so, like...
You need to untap with her.
Exactly. Like, you need to... It can't just be... Like, it's the colors aren't great for token doublers, so you can't really rely on that. You have to have enough instants and sorceries in your deck to make use of her ability. So it's a really weird balance, but the few times I've been able to find it, I've been really happy with her.
Oh my god. Yeah, she's just... I think she's so very fairly costed at 5 mana. Like, that's just... I can hang with that, but, like, oh my god. She goes... If you don't keep her in check, she goes absolutely nuts. I adore her.
Yeah, I can definitely... Yeah. I don't know. I spend so much time with her just staring at my board being like, less than 5.
No.
And that's my personal darkness as I'm watching people. Well, I've also had, if I can be frank here for a minute, I've had some really incredibly frustrating games lately in particular. There have been a lot of people who've come to the local game store I go to, and they bring with them... I realize not everybody plays Commander the same, but there has to be some better recognition of, like, the standard of what power indicates for a Commander deck.
I I make a point if I ever go to a commander night, I have three decks. I have one that's like Timmy battle cruiser, fucking like beer and pizza commander.
Exactly. Yep.
I have one that's okay, no, let's like throw down a little bit. And then I have one where it's like, we're all pull out your gun right now.
Yeah, I wish I had. Well, and so here's the thing is because I'm always tweaking and because I'm always doing stuff, I generally try and play a little bit lower because if my deck ends up popping off and it ends up being a little bit higher, that's a surprise for me. And usually everybody can hang with that. But when I sit down and I say like, "Hey, I'm playing at a 5 or a 6," and I sit down and somebody's turn oneing Sensei's Divining Top
Oh, yeah,
or
that's not that. That is.
like turn 3 Blood Mooning, I'm like, "What?
Yeah, no, that is like I think there needs to be a better way to absolutely like discuss like no, when I say this, I mean like this is maybe as good as the most recent pre-cons. This is a homebrew that I'm trying to see if I can make it do something funny. And I'm
Exactly.
very intentionally trying not to make it like the most heinous thing you've ever seen, unless I am, in which case I've disclosed this. It's like, no, it has like, here's X, Y, and Z infinite combos. It has like, this is that. Yes, this, like, this is, it's never not that attracts the deck, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, if I'm running Atraxa, yeah, no, of course it's proliferate. I don't like planeswalkers that much. It's infect. We all know this. Like, or it's 1/1 counters, or both, probably. But yeah, like there needs to be a cleaner way to just be like, hey,
I'm just let's
this is.
well, and that's the thing is that I do that sometimes, or I'll try to be like, somebody will just be so clearly so far ahead for the first game, and okay, it takes an hour and a half. We can maybe get two more games in them, and everybody's asking, "Hey, do we want to power up or power down?" And I'll be like, "Okay, let's power." And usually, a lot of the other two people who didn't win will also be like, "Let's fucking power down because you just like went infinite, and we're playing at a 6." And
Oh yeah, no, I had that experience with someone who they were playing the I think it was the Thunder Junction Is It Precon as the
oh
commander.
God, yeah.
It was not the precon. They did not specify that. It was cool
No,
to see
and that's
pop. Don't get me
like
wrong. It was sick as hell to see, but like
I'm very happy for people when they do get it to do that, but there's also a level of like okay, when you say it's a modded precon, what does that mean? Because
yeah, is
modded
this
precon can mean, okay, I added like something simple and dumb. I swapped out some of the creatures to be more useful.
Yeah,
Or it
it's
can
I fixed the
mean,
mana a bit, but it's like, you know.
yeah, exactly. I took out some of the lands,
I took out the
the dual
Guildgate.
lands. Yeah, so I can tap them on their turn because I, put in some of the ones from Innistrad or whatever. And but like most often it is not that.
No. It's and I'm like, yeah, it's well, thankfully. My first card from Murders of Karlov Manor. Wow, it's been a year and I still Edgar Markov was not featured in this set.
I do not, I think I entirely blame Prof for that.
Yeah. But my favorite card or one of my favorite cards from the set was actually has been a house for me in Standard, which is absolutely a place where you get to throw down and do degenerate shit because you're trying to win. And that is Doppelgang. I love Doppelgang.
Doppelgang.
Doppelgang. So Doppelgang, for those unfamiliar, a triple
Oof.
X
Oof.
green and a
God
blue
damn.
sorcery. For each of X target permanents, create X tokens that are copies of that permanent. I'm a big fan of there was that Teemer Nissa combo deck for a little bit with this and Aftermath Analyst.
Oh, yeah.
That generated like infinite mana. I run it in a much more fair Sultai Landfall Burn
I would
shell.
hope so because I'm just like looking at the colors of like Simic with this is that's nasty work.
Yep. No, it's a Sultai Burn with the Iridescent Vine Lasher and Lumra.
Okay, see that's not as oh, but and they don't even go away, but like also Iridescent Vine Lasher with that is
Yeah, no,
that
that
could be
and
so fucking heinous in Standard.
the OTJ deserts that ping.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
No, you see the vision.
I see the vision and it's horrendous.
Yeah. It's great. When you can play in a format with four of these things, because what's great is you do it once and then you make a bunch of lands and then you do it again with all of the
It's
extra
target
mana.
permanent, so it can be anything.
I copy my deserts.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, see, like, this is exactly the kind of
Yeah.
card that I think is slept on from this set.
Oh. I'm going for at least two, if not three, what I believe to be are slept on or just not nearly as, like, because there's some flavor aside, Murders is, like, such a weirdly important deck or set.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Oh, like narratively, yeah.
oh, well, and also Surveil Land.
Oh, God, yes. Fucking love Surveil Lands.
Surveil Lands. Like, Jesus Christ on a cracker.
As Murders, so the one good thing is I think that Murders, OTJ, I think OTJ is selling a little bit better, but things like Murders and apparently Duskmourn also did not sell very well overall. And while that's a bummer because I really like Duskmourn, I am looking forward to what is currently happening with Murders, where I can go into most LGSs and be like, hey, how much is a Murders pre-release kit? Because they have a ton left over still. And they're like, I'll give you like 10 bucks off.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I liked the Murders pre-release too. I think the set, just timing wise, especially because this was like the first main set after Ixalan.
Yeah.
And like, we love our dinosaurs, don't we, folks? Like you can't,
Well,
no one wanted.
when was March in the Machine?
Oh, March of Machine was May, I want to say, 2023.
Okay, so it was March in the Machine, then
Wilds of Eldraine.
March
of
the
Machine,
that's what it was.
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. And then Eldraine.
Wilds of Eldraine, and then Lost Caverns. So, like,
okay.
It was just kind of, outside of that one little thing with the the Pinkertons, it was kind of oops all heaters for most of 2023. And so I think that the sets that were just kind of whelming definitely got just really overlooked, which is a damn shame, because as I'm scrolling through Scryfall, I am loving like everything I'm seeing here. Entirely for like, there's not a lot of stuff that I like in Commander, but like every format that I play that Commander, so like, you know, mostly I guess Standard,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of Pauper and
like Arena
Main,
and stuff like that too.
Arena, and I mean, I'm like, there's so many good things in here for Cube. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh,
There's so
especially
many.
Like themed cubes.
Oh, themed cubes are just like, there's so many weird little guys.
So many weird little guys.
Like, I'm like, yeah, there's a bunch of like the face down side of things. I'm like, yeah, doing this with like some morph and some manifest and stuff. Like,
I really want to dig into at some point, like have a deck that is a ton of Surveil, Investigate, Suspect, Morph,
Oh, hell
Disguise,
yeah.
Like all that stuff, because a lot of it can be super powerful when used correctly, but I feel so many people just look at cards and go like, bleh, and just like, I don't know what that does. I'm not going to fuck with it.
I want an all face down cube.
Oh, geez.
Wouldn't that be
Honestly, but
sick?
yeah. But
Wouldn't
you
that
can
be
do
sick?
that with so many
Yeah.
cards from this Duskmourn, the original Morph stuff.
Yeah, the original like Khan's Block stuff. Like
Yeah.
it's, oh my God. It's, yeah. Yeah,
Well,
it's
speaking of,
frustrating. There's cool shit. But yeah.
And speaking of cool shit and stuff that is like absolute bangers in Standard, I opened this card the other day. I ended up, the reason I know my LGS is selling them for less is because I opened up a pre-release pack, and the pack in rare was this card, and I jumped. I was ecstatic, and my friends were like, why? You opened a Karlov Manor set? And I was like, because it is Delny, Streetwise Lookout.
Delny's
which
a house.
Delny is, especially with, I haven't gotten around to it yet, but especially with, I've done it in Arena, so I know it works and is just horrendous with stuff like Gremlins. Because if you make her alongside Arabella,
oh yeah,
and standard,
yep, nope,
is just immediate violence.
I have also committed many a heinous act thanks to Delany. No, they're fucking. First off, I love that they're canonically non-binary. Like that is just a
oh,
fun
are
little.
they?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not just my baby Nico.
No, they're canonically non-binary. I think it's them, Nico, and Ashiok that are the three, at least three. But
oh, gosh, I didn't know about Ashiok either.
Yeah, no, Ashiok's definitely non-binary.
Oh, neat.
Big year for non-binary magics, because didn't we get a new, no, we got a new Ashiok in Eldraine, never mind.
Yes.
We have Jace kind of dresses Ashiok from OTJ, but like that doesn't count. But Delany, good motherfucking god, Delany.
You love to see it.
Just, yeah, creatures you control with power 2 or less can't be blocked by creatures with power 3 or greater. It's just March of the Little Dudes.
Yeah, and if you have, especially with white, and if you have anything white, red for just pingers and such, ridiculous. Yep. Ridiculous.
Oh my god, they're horrendous. I love them.
Yep. Who is up next for you?
You know what? I talked about a good card. Now I'm going to talk about a big stinky card I like.
Go for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Anzrag the Quake Mole, my 8/4 mole god son that gives me extra combat phases. Anzrag the Quake Mole is the most gruel-ass gruel card
I feel
seen.
Like a good half of why you like Anzrag is just saying his name.
Oh, yes. I love saying Anzrag the Quake Mole, my mole god. I also like that I have a foil one for my all-foil cube, and he's horrendous.
He is actually in my... So, people get... Every now and then I'll play with a group, and we'll be like, hey, we're gonna, you know, let's switch up, you know, you play your deck, just move the decks one to the side. And so yeah. It's always funny because people get a look at how bizarre and unhinged my deck building process can be. And they sometimes they're like, what is this doing in a, you know, this tribal deck? And I'm like,
yeah,
well, it's functional, which is why Anzrag is in my Gruul Werewolf deck.
Oh, yeah, because you're slamming someone at 8/8. Otherwise, you get to untap all the werewolves.
Exactly.
Like, and he is an honorary werewolf. He's a mole god. He can do whatever he wants.
They're forest creatures. They're Sherwarren. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, no, like werewolves are probably the most gruel creature type, I'd say, outside of, like, actually, shit, I think, is there something more gruel than a werewolf? Like,
honestly, as I've built, so I've been kind of staying away from building other gruel decks, mostly because I want to kind of try put together as many different colors and styles as I can.
Yeah,
but like what red does and what green does, like werewolves do it outside of the ability to transform, which is why you kind of need to play Tovalar. That like it don't get much more werewolfy than werewolves.
It's just, yeah, like they, yeah, I think Gruul God goes in the Gruul shit deck, absolutely. Like,
yeah.
Like that's not a flavor win at all.
Or a flavor faux pas.
Yeah, flavor fail, excuse me. That is an absolute flavor win.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm a big fan. All right, well, who do you got for me?
I have so Anzrag the Quake Mole. My final one is did I want
Yeah, we're getting
to do...
down to a few.
Taysa Opulent Oligarch, who is in my Taysa deck. And with Baron Bertram Greywater from OTC or OTJ. And it was the first time my Taysa deck really popped off was when those two were on the field and I was sacking stuff. And every time I was sacking stuff, it was pinging people. And every time it pinged people, I'd get a clue. And whenever I got a clue, I got another thing and just like so on and so forth. And it really showed me because my other Orzhov deck, and it's got me on this weird kick of trying to find the different approaches to each color strength.
Yeah.
Where my Astarion deck, because his ability is purely you either double the damage you deal to somebody this turn, or you either double the life you gain this turn, it is pure life gain. Like everything is a doubler, quadrupler, life gain, like Sanguine Bond, Exquisite Blood, The Bloodthirsty Night, like all that shit is in
Yeah,
there.
just doing, yes, the most heinous. It's vampire shit.
It is, and it is so, it's so fucking gross. I think I told you I had a game where last time I played Asterion, and people have kind of been like, no, I don't want to play against your Asterion, is I gained like 176 life in a turn. Because
Whoa, that's awesome.
yeah, because of, I'm trying to remember, it was like Harrow or it was something, but Bloodletter of Akhlazoth was out, and so was Sanguine Bond and just all this other shit.
Yeah.
And it was just gross. So I've been trying to find other ways to do it. And the thing I love about Taysa and just making little tokens is the synergy all of those cards have together. And
Yeah.
Opulent Oligarch is one of the best pieces in that kind of approach, I think.
Yeah, no, 'cause she just makes a little guy. I wish that it was at the, I guess it's probably good that it's not at the end of each end step or the beginning of each end step that she triggers, but like that would get so out of hand. And like especially if you have like Academy Manufacture shit going on, like
Oh my God. Or if you had, yeah, that would be, especially if you're sacking anything that does damage,
yeah.
like just being able to ping one to multiple people. 'Cause I also had a really good taste of game where, are you familiar? This was a card I threw in there just for flavor, but it was actually super useful. Are you familiar with Haunted Library?
Let me pull up Scryfall for that one.
It was a Crimson Vow kind of back card.
I think I know which one it is, but I just want to double check because library. I can spell library. Oh, yeah.
And that with the original Taysa, which is a doubler, and God, there was one other piece, but with a spirit into Ashnod's Altar, just anytime anything
So that
died.
just goes infinite. Or
It
no,
doesn't,
you need a pinger.
yeah, it doesn't go quite infinite, but if other people's shit dies, you just get so many of those. Yeah, I forgot where I was going with Haunted Library, but
Just that's a house in Taysa. And for rate, for
Yes.
two
Yeah, yeah,
mana,
yeah.
that's as a commander card. Oh my god, yes. Fuck me up.
Yeah.
Like that is nasty. I like that.
Yeah. So Taysa, Opulent Oligarch. I've been fixated on Taysa. I love her. She is baby girl.
Perfect. Oh shit. Where do I go for my last card from this set? 'Cause there's, I mean, we got like, yeah. I'm gonna end it on
What are you
another
thinking?
big stinky boy that I like.
Natchi.
Just because this was my promo card for the pre-release I went to. Vosia, Jaws of the Conclave.
Oh
Does sneak it.
yeah.
Yep, the discourse doggy.
Yeah, people love Vosia.
The people can't get enough of Vosia. But like honestly, how many times have you seen this card in the wild?
Kind of never again. I think it's because like out like playing and stuff. It's one of those things I think just a lot of people turned up their noses at Karlov Manor. So like even if people know it as a single or like a pretty good card, I don't think enough people like really like messed around with it.
I'm a Naya enjoyer. I have a Jettmere deck. Vosia's in the Jettmere deck. It's full of elves. I am heinous, but like I've never seen a Vosia Jaws of the Conclave like commander deck to the point where I'm like, I think I should just take her out of my Jettmere and put her in my foil cube. Like that'd be more fun. I don't know if there's enough elves in the
For you to do anything with that?
in the cube right now for me to there's not currently enough elves, but I do have some cards that I've been like sitting on for elf support. That I could just drop in and be like, no, one of the most fucked up things you can do is Naya elves. Like, trust me. No, trust me. There's so many more elves. No, like, we got like a Lissalana Huntmaster in there. We got, yeah, like the guy that's like, oh yeah, anytime an elf ETBs, put a 1/1 counter on a green creature you control. It's like,
Oh
oops,
God, yeah.
all. Like, I could maybe give an elf ball sub theme into this.
And honestly, any elves with white and green just do gross shit.
No, they're all heinous. They're all heinous. I don't have too much to say on Vosia other than I wanted to shout him out because, like, I remember when this thing got spoiled. I was an early adopter of like I think Vosges is great. And then as like all the discourse came around, I'm like, well, yeah, I'm like, yes, he is very indicative of like a commander built around design. And that's boring. But as the like more and more people just kept hating Vosges, I'm like, no, I like the dog. Fuck off. I like the dog. He's
He's
my bouncing
very,
baby boy.
and I think actually, as I'm looking at him, I'm like that would be there are interesting things you can build around with Vosges and those colors that I think, and I'm always in favor of that, because like you were saying, you could just do, okay, here's a shit ton of elves,
Yeah,
and
like.
Vosges is just like the combo piece that buffs the fuck out of them, but
Yeah,
you
like
could
Voja.
also play it with like wolves and or werewolves or a balance of the
Yeah.
two.
Yeah, no, like Voja could just be like Voja is the worst Craterhoof Naya commander. Like if you want to do like hoof shit in the command zone, Jetmir's right there.
Interesting.
But yeah, I think that rumors of Voja's OP-ness were greatly overstated over this past year.
Well, and I feel like that always happens, because we'll get into Duskmourn and stuff, but like so many of the Duskmourn cards, when they got spoiled, people were like, oh my God, this is going to be just like Screaming Nemesis. I've never seen anybody play it.
I play it.
I'm,
I like
well, yeah.
as a one of, but I play
I
it.
suppose.
It's not very good, but I play Screaming Nemesis. I would like to bring us into Fallout real quick just to talk
Oh
about
shit,
another good.
Fallout. I didn't. Okay, I'll look up Fallout, because I wasn't sure if we were doing the commander only sets, but continue.
We might as well, because I'd like to bring up another good dog in Naya. Dog meat ever loyal.
Oh yeah, people love
Voja
all.
fucking wishes he was this much
Honestly,
of a house.
all of the commanders, like some are better than others, but more than any other Universes Beyond set, I have seen people play so many commanders in both just like almost straight up the precon and
And
making their
other
own
like just,
stuff.
yeah, no, I want to like kind of marinate on that for a second because I think like all I loved these decks. Like I had not played Fallout because I'm a bad transsexual, had not played Fallout before these decks came out.
They're great. They're
They're great
fantastic.
game, great games. I really, really, really like New Vegas. But dog meat ever fucking loyal. Just for a 3-3 for Naya, when it ETBs mills 5, then you get an aura or an equipment from your yard back to your hand. Dog meat shows up and then he digs in the trash and brings you a treat. Like, what's better than that? Giving him Death Touch and Lifelink. What's better than that? Giving him Trample. What's better than that? Oh, I have done heinous things with this dog.
You know what dog meat would probably be even more heinous with is
What?
if you paired it with some of the stuff from Bello, Bard of the Brambles, the Raccoon Trash Bloomburrow precon,
Oh.
because that has a ton of artifact play and buffing too.
But does it have, this is specifically auras and equipments.
I
Like
don't
this, I mean,
know.
I the when I whenever I've played dog meat, I've always just been like the most Voltron-y, like how many swords can I give this dog? How many weird pieces of evasion can I give this dog? Like in many ways, I've taken it apart now because it got a little bit too samey for I like that commander damage is a thing. I don't love my strat for things being commander damage unless I think it's really funny. And there's only so many times you can run over someone with the largest dog known to man before you're like, yep, this will never change. But I love dog meat. I think that it's just he's a fun, good boy. And again, just kind of shout out to all of the face commanders as well as the alt commanders for the Fallout decks. Like I playing these in like a limited pod was some of the most fun I've had with Commander in a while.
I think, well, and I think a special mention to Mr. House, President and CEO, and the Wise Mothman for being also particularly fucking heinous.
They're so weird, heinous.
They are weird heinous, but God, I actually really hate playing against a Mothman.
I like getting
Oh,
milled more than you do.
yeah, you do.
I can't be a mill player and
I feel
also
like
get
that's like
salty
the
at mill.
magic equivalent of being a bottom.
Being a mill player?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think
Excuse
so?
you. No. No, I'm trying to
I
win
feel
through.
this lines up. I feel like
I
this
no,
hypothesis will
no.
bear out.
No, because Mill is like, I'm deciding to make things even harder for myself. Why is that not, how is that bottom behavior?
Podcast listener, I feel like my argument has spoken for itself, and I rest my case. Have you been called out?
I thought this was a safe space.
It is a safe space. You it is arguably the most safe space, as you've been talking about heinous Rakdos nightmares you deliver
That's
upon
fair.
other people, and Simic nightmares.
Well, there's
Oh
Sultai
shit.
nightmares. Thank you.
As I'm going through, I need to talk about another one of my favorite cards, maybe one of my favorite cards of the year, and for my money, maybe one of the best like blue card draws.
Yeah.
And that is, are you familiar with Struggle for Project Purity?
I'm just looking at it right now. First off, I love any enchantment that has you choose a side.
Yes,
Like I
very
love
fun.
like a Khan's Dragons type situation. As it enters the battlefield, choose Brotherhood or Enclave. Brotherhood, at the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent draws a card. You draw a card for each card. Okay. Whenever a player attacks you with one or more creatures, that. Wow.
Yeah, so I never fuck with the Enclave because, as opposed to some other shit, like if you play Struggle for Project Purity, you are likely drawing three cards each turn, or three additional cards each turn.
Four cards each turn.
Yep, it
Yeah,
is
that's.
so good. Such great value.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That I did not know this card existed because that would be that's in what the Jeskai energy deck.
No, it's in the
Oh no, it's in Mothman. That's in Mothman.
It's in the Mothman deck.
Gross.
Yeah, God,
That's.
as I'm looking through, there are so many bangers in here.
Yeah, no, like these decks killed. Oh my God.
Power
Shit.
Fist. Power Fist is another one that I feel is like kind of awful, but also really good.
Yeah, I'm a big
Because you can
fan.
just, if you want to talk about making a beefy boy, Power Fist is the way to fucking do it.
How about Strong Back, which is basically just like slightly lesser All That Glitters.
Oh yeah, no, it's yeah.
Which I think All That Glitters was printed into one of these too, but
It absolutely was. It
there's no
absolutely
way
was.
All That Glitters wasn't printed into Dog Meat, but oh my God. Oh my God. Like Ooh, the Nightkin Ambusher. That's good flavor.
There's a lot of really good, like, damn.
Like, that's like as far as Universes Beyond stuff goes, this really is kind of like the peak for me for like, okay, cool. If you're gonna make four commander decks that all like play well together, function well as decks and play well together, like in a controlled environment, like, yeah, I want a card called the Nipton Lottery.
Somebody actually, I was in a group that brought up that kind of idea to me where they were like, yeah, I have all four of the Fallout Commander decks. I just keep them
Yeah.
as like a board game thing to play.
Yeah. No, I've got a couple of friends who do that and they rock together. They're like
Oh,
the
they're so good. I've been meaning to, because I have three of them, and I've just taken so many pieces out of them to use in other things, and I've been meaning to
Yeah.
reassemble them into a like just Fallout ass Fallout deck.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, just like, oh my God, who's the commander for that, you think?
I have no idea what I would want to probably do a five color.
Yeah, and I there weren't any Wooburg.
Nope.
What's the stupidest? Oh my God. I mean, like the silliest Wooburg commander for that for me is Garth One Eye.
Garth?
Garth One Eye. So this is not a Fallout card, but this is
It could be.
what it he might he looks like. Look him up. Look him up right now. Look him up.
Oh yeah,
He
I'm
like
looking at him. Whoa, choose a card name that hasn't been chosen. Create a what the fuck?
Yeah. Read the whole card for the beautiful listeners at home.
Oh my god. Choose a card name that hasn't been chosen from Disenchant, Brain Geyser, Te no, Brain Geyser, Terror, Shivan Dragon, Regrowth, and Black Lotus. Create a copy of the card with the chosen name. You may cast the copy. You still pay its costs. That is
That is
fascinating.
so I once we've had like a couple more years of like this level of Universes Beyond. I'm planning on building a Garth One Eye deck where he's the only magic IP card in the deck down to basic lands.
That's
like down to and including basic lands.
Nightmarish.
Like, I want him to be like, it's the oops all IP deck with magic at the helm.
I kind of like that. That's
I
sweet.
Think that that's like, that genuinely has made me like just really, really vibe out a little bit based on the whole like universe.
Another thing I really love this set for is some of the only green zombies. As somebody who's been trying to build a zombie deck with no black zombies, green zombies, very cool.
Green zombies fucking rock. So do the mutants.
Yeah.
I'd like to shout out Lumbering Mega Sloth.
Lumbering Mega Sloth, let's go.
The 12-mana 8/8 with trample. And it costs one less for each counter among players in permanence.
Which that number goes down real quick.
Yeah, especially if you're playing it.
If you're
with
playing
Thud.
A four game, yeah, you get that out for you basically get that out for two pretty quick.
You can get it out for two in some Eternal formats.
Yeah.
If you're playing Depths combo.
Hell yeah.
It's disgusting. Do we want to move into Outlaws of Thunder Junction?
Let's do it. This was the first set I really got into. This was the first set that I, this was the first pre-release I went to.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, my first pre-release card was Ornery Tumblewag, which is a great card. Love that little armadillo boy.
That's a mono green little goober, right?
Yeah, it gives 1/1 counters and doubles counters when it's saddled.
Oh, yeah, that's that could, especially in like limited, that seems like it gets out of hand real fast.
Oh boy, yeah. I was actually playing Arena. I was playing a deck I haven't done in a minute, and it was Ornery Tumblewag, another one of my favorites from this set, Bristly Bill.
Oh, Bristly
And
Bill. Yeah.
Bristly Bill whips, especially with Kami of Whispered Hopes.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can pretty easily, if nobody shuts down Bristly Bill and Kami, like those go infinite pretty quick.
Yep. Nope. As you saw on my stream like last week with Vi, yeah, that Kami is the most on-site creature.
It's so, I don't even get mad when when people take it out. I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's fair.
Yeah.
It's one of the best like mana things you can have out there. If I have a green deck, I am running one of those, even if it's not solely focused on counters.
If you're doing any counter shit, like it's just, it's why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Oh my
like
God.
You put one counter on it, you can tap it for 3 mana.
Yep.
Like ridiculous.
That is good enough. Like that is good enough for government work.
Well, speaking of, if you want to talk about counters and absolutely heinous shit in this set, a big boy, big, just beefy boy. I love him. Are you familiar with the Railway Brawler?
Oh, am I? Husbando?
Yes.
The Railway Brawler?
Indubitably.
Yeah. What if everyone just got double in size? Yeah.
One of the best feelings in the world is playing Railway Brawler and then playing a second one right behind it.
Oh, jeez.
In like Arena. So you just have a 10-10 reach trample nightmare. And then anything that comes on the field, like any 1-1, I have it in my Bloomburrow Bunnies deck where if you have a 1-1 bunny, that's a 4-4 bunny.
Yep. That is, Jesus fucking Christ.
I can do heinous shit too sometimes. It's just mostly in green.
Yeah, no, that's I know. I've seen the damage you've done to people.
Yeah, not just in terms of the game, but actual psychological damage too, I'm sure.
yeah. Doing like 2 million damage to someone in one turn is cruel and unusual.
But it's so funny though.
That's playing with your food.
And I unfortunately love that for me.
That's fair. Like I can't disagree, but gee.
And here's the thing. I still have 3 more to talk about, so I will let you talk about OTJ.
Yes. Yeah, no, we've just been riffing on some good guys. Let's get into... Oh, gosh.
Those are the ones I really like. Anyway, sorry, continue.
No, you're good. I really, really, as the resident Minnesotan, think Bonnie Paul Clearcutter is just fun and cool.
Yeah.
We get
She's pretty good, too.
Yeah, big... lesbian Paul Bunyan that cares about lands. I can't hate that. Can't hate that. Great one of in my soul tie cares about lands deck.
Yeah,
Like,
she's
just funny. She's just awesome.
We've talked a little bit about every time I go through Outlaws, I'm like, man, there are some real heaters in this set, but it comes back to the issue that I think a lot of the other sets had to deal with this year, which is not being able to be fleshed out enough to really get a better feel for this world, because we kind of get like one of every fantasy creature, right?
Yeah.
Like there is a giant, there are very few ogres. I think there's an orc. There's one of my favorites is Rattleback Apothecary, the Gorgon.
Oh yeah.
Which is just
But
like,
yeah, like it's, we just kind of brush through everything so fast.
Exactly. And it's such a bummer because there's so much great flavor with this, like the idea of giants, but they're all lumberjacks because they can just do, like, that's just a super easy thing,
like,
for a giant to do.
I want to see more. I want to spend more time in that world.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Like, I think I could have gotten more on board this set aesthetically had we spent a little more time there. Mechanically, I think the set played very fun, but
I think Outlaw stuff was such a clever spin. I think the crimes felt like it saddle, I think, is a little bit confusing because it basically turns a creature into a vehicle, but not a like an artifact creature. So it's this weird like middle ground for saddle. But
I think it's cool, but yeah, it's weird.
And was not, I don't think it was capitalized on enough outside of
No.
very few cards. But the crime stuff and being able to define those things, I think it fell so naturally into people's play styles already.
Yeah.
And I love a lot of the crime stuff. I think it's super fun.
It just like the outlaw flavor. Like, I love anything that has like a, oh yeah, all of these creature types matter now. And they're like, aren't all the same creature type, but it's like, oh yeah, like rogues and warlocks and all that. Like, and that is cool. But what do you got for me?
So I have, as I mentioned, Rattleback Apothecary, I think, is a great card, mostly because it's a Gorgon that costs just 3 mana, which is super rare because Gorgons are, as I learned when I tried to make a all Gorgon tribal deck, incredibly hard to build around because a lot of them have been just power crept. Like Death Touch is no longer worth like 7 or 8 for a 4/4 or whatever they
No,
are.
no.
And so I've instead taken out a lot of those and put in Hydras, which are still very snaky. But Rattleback Apothecary, she's just so great. She's serving. And whenever you commit a crime, you get target creature you control gains your choice of menace or lifelink. I think that's really solid. And then, so talking about cards that are slept on, this is a card that I set aside specifically because it's one of the cards I know if I'm building a new deck or if I'm building a deck in blue, I'm putting it in there.
Yeah.
And it's a card that every time I've played it, people react like they've literally never seen it before because they probably haven't. And that is the uncommon Shifting Grift.
Let's see if... Oh, I like that.
It is...
Oh.
Especially
Oh.
if you have in both Standard and Commander, it is an incredibly versatile card. You get to choose the mana value. You can play it fairly early. If you play it late in the game, you can really cause havoc because it is not just between you and somebody else, but you can exchange control. But of either for, you know, a mounting cost, you can exchange control of either 2 target creatures, 2 target artifacts, or 2 target enchantments, and you can do that for the entire board. So it is an amazing politics piece. It is an amazing upheaval piece to like steal away the thing that is like terrorizing you.
I wonder if this is playable, maybe like, is this sideboard tech for the demonic pack combo deck, you think?
It could be. That would be vile.
Because it's really predicated on your opponent having enchantments. Otherwise, I mean, like, I this feels like best 3 sideboard tech to me, because like worst case scenario, four mana trade off your best friend of the Dross.
Yeah. Well, and it's
or
not even
of the
non-token creatures. So if you have just like, oh, here's a piddly 1/1, I'll pay three life or I'll sack three things. Okay, you're getting the 1/1, I'm getting your Val'Gavoth or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
like it is a
I
massive big swing machine.
This feels like it could be very this is sick. I've never seen this card. This is cool as hell.
That's what I'm saying. And it is so like I just put it aside because it is so much fun whether you are playing to win or just playing for jank and chaos.
Yeah.
Like it is I love it. I love it. I've
that
never not had a good time playing it.
Awesome. Oh my god.
I have one last card to shout out in this set, but what else
Go.
Do you have?
Let's see. I mean, I'm choosing between a couple, and I think I gotta just go with my gut. I love Goldvein Hydra.
It's so good. It's so
love,
good.
Like it's just speaking of cards that you're never not excited to cast. Like this is an always on rate, or more or less always on rate, I guess one behind rate, Vigi Trample Haste Hydra that pops into treasure.
You are
can
a
use
fan of Hydras, so many
fun.
Good Hydras this year.
I love a good Hydra. Like, oh my god. But yeah, no, it's short, sweet, and to the point. Like, this thing's a house and limited. I run it in my Gruul Stompy's Canlander. Like, if you can just ramp into it, like, yeah, it's a 5/5 Trample Haste. What you gonna do, bud? Like,
it's just, and the treasure.
Yeah. It's
is such
pops.
An interesting like it's the perfect in a way. It is literally a ward against somebody trying to take it out, because then you just have treasure to do other shit with.
Cast another one, make it even bigger.
Yeah.
All right, and you got one more for me?
I do, and this has become unexpectedly one of my favorite commander decks, and it is the commander of my Merit Lodge Snow deck. Chock full of snowlands, artifacts, the whole nine, and also enchantments. And that is Ariette the Beguiler.
Oh.
Have I told you about my, I think I did. I told you about my tactic with Ariette the Beguiler, where I also have in that deck under those same Esper colors, John Arrhenicus.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's all coming back to me now.
And it is one of the most fun. Like you want to talk about just kitchen table chill out pizza and beers magic.
Oh my god, yeah. Steal
popping
your shit,
off
steal
with
everyone's
Ariette
shit,
and
and
give it
then
to
start.
somebody else.
That's heinous.
It is, but here's the thing, nobody can be mad. Every time I've done it, nobody's mad.
Well, because it's so like that's so many hoops to jump through. Like
it's so many hoops.
So fair. That is a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, I love Ariette. It's just become such a like standard. It is now a deck that people will say, hey, you should play that, because they like playing with it.
It's just like, this is going to make the game fun. This is going to make the game funny. It's a fantastic villain for the table. And like, there's no immediate win condition with her other than just like, I'm going to steal your shit and fuck around. I don't know, man.
Yeah, and I mean, and I have other stuff that the deck does. Like, it's very enchantment heavy. It is, you know, duplications and all sorts of stuff. But the main thing it does is just everybody kind of has a good time and shows off, like, these cards, like Ariette, like Shifting Grift, that you probably haven't heard about.
No, but like, oh yeah, God, that actually, that's a house in that shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's disgusting.
I think that's my last like big one for Thunder Junction though.
Yeah, that's likewise. We also have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more sets to get through because they don't stop printing these things.
Oh my god, really? We do.
Yeah,
don't we?
I
Holy
almost
shit.
I wonder if this is a two-parter.
I kind of wonder if it is too.
I think this might be a two-parter
because how long have we been recording? We've been
let me check my DMs. You sent this over about an hour and a half.
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah.
I think that this is a two-parter.
Do you want to then say, all right, so what else do we have then? I can cut all of
We
this
have
out.
coming up
Modern Horizons.
Modern Horizons 3, Assassin's Creed,
Creed.
Bloomburrow, Duskmourne, and Foundation.
Do you
Which
think Bloomburrow, Duskmourne, and Foundations are their own?
Ooh, I could talk a long time about all three of those sets. Like
I know that's what I'm thinking.
I don't want to cut this short. I definitely got but counter argument. Do we want to really end on Assassin's Creed?
I could talk about Assassin's Creed for a while.
I think we actually both have a much softer spot for Assassin's Creed than most people, so let's fucking go for it. Let's jump right into Modern Horizons 3 though first.
And honestly, of the bunch, like this year when I was going through Modern Horizons 3, there was not a lot that was grabbing me.
I really wanted to like this set more than I do. I think part of it's the Nadu of it all.
Yeah.
Part of it's the price. I just was not able to play nearly as much or with nearly as many of the cards as I would have liked to.
I wonder how it's sold, honestly.
Probably pretty decent. But yeah, I don't know off the top of my head. Like, I do have a lot of good things to say about one of my favorite cards from the year, and it's entirely for just one flavor reason.
Which one is that?
I really like the new Emrakul. Entirely
Yeah.
because it has madness.
I'm gonna say something that might be slightly controversial.
Go for it.
I don't like Eldrazi.
Oh, you then this there is nothing in this set for you.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
like,
saying.
I like Eldrazi. I love the meatball gang. I love the squiggly little tentacle boys, and I love the concept of buddies that you can just sink a shitload of mana into, and then it's just like, yeah, if you're spending 12 mana on something, yeah, you get, if you've somehow generated 12 mana, but that's so much easier to do think it is, and like it just becomes like a combo turbo thing. And
well, and you know what I think might be bugging me about some of it is that they're not in the Modern Horizons 3 incarnation, they're not like scary to me. Like they're kind of just tentacle jellyfish boys.
Yeah, they don't like
they've
like
lost
I
that
like
Innistrad edge.
Yeah, well they like the thing is they don't have Annihilator. And I understand why they don't have Annihilator, except okay, I'm looking through all the colorless Eldrazi. I've seen two with Annihilator so far. And like if you're not like I know that like Annihilator is horrific and horrendous to play against. I do understand that, but like that's what makes them worth it. Like it's there. It's just like I have cast this thing, and now you're fucked.
Yeah, I see
and
it. So I get that Modern Horizons, like it is supposed to be like heavy shit. Like these, this is a set that is dedicated around like people who are about this. Like people
yeah.
who. Like you're not fucking around if you're buying Modern Horizons 3 boxes
yeah,
and stuff.
it's yeah, no, I mean they were full of fetch lands. Like yeah, like this
yeah.
is to inject Modern with even more power. Some might say too much Nadu. But okay, actually one that I can talk about, not even for like that long, but I kinda like was the Necrobloom. I thought was a cool card design.
Oh yeah. Necrobloom. As I'm looking through it, I'm looking and there is stuff that I have put in my decks. One very fun one that is great in Elesh Norn is Metastatic Evangel.
Oh, Metastatic Evangel's incredible in my Rhea Ivor deck.
Yeah, like that's just great for an uncommon.
That yeah, like that, just whenever a non-token creature ETBs proliferate, yes, please. Like
and oh god, another one. God, how could I forget? Oh, where are you, buddy? I'm scrolling through Scryfall. That was Spectral Lynx was in this, right?
I think so.
I swear Spectral Lynx has unless did I get it from Dominaria Remastered? Okay, I think I'm getting Dominaria Remastered and
that's very possible.
Mixed
I
up. Yeah, it was just Dominaria Remastered and Apocalypse. Damn it, never mind.
Oh my god. I really enjoyed playing like I've only like I have not touched this set nearly enough because it's so like prohibitively expensive. I mean I do think it's funny that I opened a pack that would have been like I probably could have like turned around and sold last year for maybe not a whole box, but certainly a lot of packs, that had a Fury. It had a full art Fury and a the Bloodstained Mire Red Black Fetch.
Oh God,
in it.
yeah.
And I'm like, that's sick as hell. I like Fury. I think it's I don't think it's a I don't think it should be printed, but I do think that Scam was a funny deck.
It is so. I mean, I told you what happened with my Modern Horizons 3 experience, where I bought like a, because somebody, they had priced it down, but I bought a bundle and there were two goddamn Nadus, like the week after it got banned.
No.
And well, I mean, there were some other good cards in there. There was, I got a Jet Medallion, I got a Phyrexian Altar, I got some like some other okay stuff. I got Felia. But like staring at that
great.
and being able to be like, oh man, this would have paid for the box.
Yeah.
So I know the feeling. I know the feeling. What other stuff is there? I like Kami of Jealous Thirst, just because I like Kamis and Kamigawa.
I mean, I gotta shout out my boy Wumpus Aberration.
Absolutely, would expect
just,
no different.
You know, for the Wumpus.
Representing the Wumpus. Well, speaking of goofy guys, you might be wumping it, but Bugs, who would you recommend if I wanted to be goyfing it?
Oh, I do love me another goyf. I do love me another goyf.
I between Wampus and Goyf, I'm just glad that some of the like weirder old creatures still haven't been forgotten. Also, another trend I really, oh, sorry, you go.
We'll jump on it in just a second, but I have nothing more to say other than I am so genuinely glad that the Pauper format panel correctly banned Cranial Ram before it dropped.
Oh God, yeah. Holy shit.
Because that would have been, as a fan of a Pauper affinity, especially Grixis affinity, this would have been so gross. Cranial Ram just, Yeah, Cranial Plane. It gets slightly harder to cast because I think the equip cost is one more, and no, the equip cost for Cranial Planing's two black. But you know, it costs a black and a red instead of two generic. That's fine. No.
No.
Good God.
For especially
Gnar.
In like in common. Holy shit.
Yeah, in Pauper, that thing would have been
a nightmare.
That would have been very disgusting. And I say this is like speaking from personal experience because I've tried building like, you know, non-format legal decks with a futzed around. It's really great. I'm so glad we don't have to deal with it.
The one thing I will say, again, going through these cards, is that I am a big fan, and much like in Foundations, although because these there aren't nearly as many reprints as Foundations, I love a good grab bag set. I think that does make packs a little bit more fun to open. Like I was saying, like, oh, here's a Kami. Here's, you know, there's a non-Tuco. So two things. I love that. I love a little grab bag. Here's Nyxborn Hydra. Here's, you know, some stuff from Theros.
Oh, Nyxborn Hydra is great.
Nyxborn Hydra whips, especially for a common. But on the subject of Hydras, I do like, between this and Foundations, there are two creatures whose entire purpose appear to be helping raise other creatures between Hydra Trainer and Drake Hatcher in Foundations. And I would like to see so much more of that.
Oh my God. Right. Just like, I love when I see like a someone and their buddy type of card.
I think it, you know, it's that kind of perfect balance of like a little bit of world building. It is showing these other sides to all of these, you know, big scary creatures that you might know. And I, like I said, there are a lot of good legendaries in here. They have a Sorin. They have I like the Tamiyo.
The flippy planeswalkers in this are awesome.
Yeah, super cool. I have a Grist who I had to take out of the deck I was using him in because I didn't have enough graveyard recursion. But when I did cast the planeswalker, like, did some dirt.
The flippy Ralzeric is a turbo house in a Niv-Mizzet deck that I just put together.
Toxrill's not in this set, was he?
Toxrill? No.
Okay.
That would have been one of the Innistrads.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's kind of it for me, though.
I like that Reform got downshifted, so now I can play it in Peasant Cubes.
What does that one do? Reform.
So it's a 4-mana 0/1 worm.
Oh, jeez.
And when it dies, you create a 3/3 blue fish with, when this creature dies, create a 6/6 blue whale with creature token with, when this creature dies, create a 9/9 blue kraken creature token.
That would be very funny to play with Genku Future Shaper to just have the widest animal variety of tokens possible.
It goes really funny in Arumi of the Dead Tide.
Arumi of the Dead Tide? I don't know that one.
Sorry,
I'm looking at, I got distracted by the flip planeswalkers.
Yeah.
Me? How do you spell Arumi?
Araumi of the Dead Tide.
Ah, okay, there we go. Even the number of opponents that you have. Encore? Oh.
It's just funny. Like, it's not very good, but it gets you,
I mean,
the death
you
trigger.
could probably do some shit with that.
It's for anyone who doesn't know this goofy uncommon from, I think it's, oh gosh, Commander
Yeah,
Legends.
Commander Legends.
Arumi of the Dead Tide is a 1 and Dimir Merfolk Wizard with tap exile cards from your graveyard equal to the number of opponents you have. Target creature card in your graveyard gains Encore until end of turn. The Encore cost is equal to its mana cost. And Encore, so parenthetically it says exile the creature card and pay its mana cost, colon, for each opponent. Create a token copy that attacks that opponent this turn. If able, they gain haste. Sacrifice them at the beginning of the next end step. Activate only as a sorcery.
Honestly,
so the jank,
like,
the jank tech here is spit out 3 worms, they turn into 3 fish. I think it's kind of funny.
I think that's pretty good. And with some like sac outlets and
sac outlets they're decent blockers.
Yeah.
Like
sac outlets and zombies, you could probably do some work with them.
I love the reform. I think it's just it's just a stupid card. It's perfect. Do you got anything else to say on this, or you want to hit Assassin's Creed?
Honestly, I'm good. I oddly have so much more to say about Assassin's Creed.
Ditto, because Assassin's Creed, the biggest issue I have with Assassin's Creed is that it was a March of the Machine Aftermath size tiny set.
For a insane price point.
Yep, because every card in it is really fun.
There are so many like original bangers. There are really good reprints.
There's
like
so many
Royal
good...
Assassin,
Cover of Darkness, Fatal
Cover
Push.
Of Darkness. I love Cover of Darkness. I run that in so many things. Propaganda.
Oh my god. Go for the Throat, Black Market Connections. Like, it's just such a house of a set. Like, I wish we would have gotten like even just like. Because I guess what frustrates me about this set is it really feels like it doesn't have a home, because it was too small of a set to draft.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any like supplementary product put out alongside it outside of starter decks, which I have many very good things to say about. Like
The starter decks are fantastic.
Vine, I picked them up. They're awesome. Actually, I'm going to just jump into card I need to shout out right now. Because no one knows of this fucking card. But Battlefield Improvisation.
Oh, Battlefield Improvisation. Oh, hell yes.
Oh my god. If you're in any sort of Boros or like white splashed Voltron, so you're probably, you're Voltron. You can have white. So for 1 and a white instant, target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. If that creature is attacking, you may attach any number of equipment you control to it.
So let me turn you on to some game here, because I put a ton of Assassin's Creed cards in my kind of Viking Najeela deck, because I had the Najeela that is Eivor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so there's a ton of great warrior stuff. And over time, it has also morphed into kind of like equipment love between Battlefield Improvisation, Eivor Battle Ready, which is... Whenever Eivor Battle Ready attacks, it deals damage equal to the number of equipment you control to each opponent. And then Mjolnir, the Stormhammer, which, where are you, Mjolnir?
Oh, God. Mjolnir Stormhammer is fucking sick.
Yes. So when equipped creature attacks, tap target creature defending player controls and put a stun counter on it. Then Mjolnir deals damage to each opponent equal to the number of tapped creatures that opponent controls. So you are like, if you swing with one, you are just like, depending, especially if you have some of the other insane, like ridiculous artifacts this set has, like Caduceus. Oh
yeah.
my God.
Yeah. Okay, I've never seen this card before, but Smoke Bomb.
Oh, Smoke Bomb's great.
I love that.
Well, and so the thing, one of the things I really like is that so many people are like, oh, this doesn't really fit in Magic. But as I've been going through and as I've been building, like I've been building, I told you, Kamigawa decks and
Yeah.
both Kamigawa decks and a cube. And
Yeah.
I want to keep it flavorful to shit with ninjas and assassins. And there's a number of Assassin's Creed cards in that cube just because they're like, this shit works with so much of Magic.
Yeah, no, like honestly, my big issue with Assassin's Creed is that I love playing non-human. And it's a kind of an oops all humans set.
Yeah.
But like I can get over that real quick.
Also has like it as I'm going through it right after, I've never looked at this back to back with Modern Horizons, but
Yeah.
it has kind of a similar thing where it's kind of like a little grab bag of themes that Magic has done in the past because you have stuff that fits perfectly into Theros, into Kaldheim, into Amonkhet and Ixalan, and like so many different things.
Yeah. No, like this does feel, when it's not happening all at once, but rather more like a curated situation, I'm like, yeah, so many of these cards feel, yeah, right fucking at home. Plus, like, I'm sorry, I think it's cool and funny to be able to run Socrates as a commander.
Yep, Socrates and Leonardo da Vinci are just very just good. That's just good fun. They really, I do think they missed the opportunity to have a George Washington commander, though.
That would have, oh my god, I have no idea how that would have been received, but that would have been extremely funny.
I know, I know why they didn't do it, but also would have been very funny.
I love that they're also just like continuing the theme of, you know, the card Slicer Hired Muscle, yeah? The Transformer?
Yes, yep.
The pass around party bottom.
That's a
so
way to
I
put it.
I love that so between the Transformers cards, the Warhammer 40K cards, and the Assassin's Creed cards, each of them have had a like 4 to 5 mana mono red creature with a very similar effect of at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player gains control of this and it's goaded and whatever, whatever. Because we've got Alexios, Deimos of Cosmos.
Yep. God, I hate that. It's a very funny card to play, but when I was getting these packs, I got more of Alexios in the foil slot, like by a vast margin than anything else.
Yeah, like, and that's the frustrating thing about like trying to buy any of this like as sealed product. Like, it just it frankly blew to open. They're great cards to play. They sucked to open.
Yep.
But like, they're all just fucking fun though. Like,
no, there's
I
great.
love.
This is a set that for years people are going to be hitting commander tables and just popping down. Like, oh hey, I've had this experience recently. A friend of mine built Cleopatra, which
yeah.
is, and it is a vicious deck.
Yeah. Oh no. She's a heinous card.
But it's fun. Like I said, the first commander deck I built was Edward Kenway, which basically makes it so you have to have a fleet of ships and a bunch of assassins and pirates. But when you pair with Mary Read and Anne Bonny, who you can just tap to draw a card and discard a card, you at least get a treasure every turn to get that stuff going.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, no,
Yeah,
oh,
no.
Mary Read and Anne Bonny is so great. Oh, I love them.
Yeah. No, like I could see that getting out of hand really fast, actually. Oh god.
I'm excited to eventually jump back in with everything I've learned, because that deck was a lot of fun, but again, in weird ways that people don't necessarily expect.
Like, I think that this will be a set that for years people are gonna similar to like the Baldur's Gate cards.
Oh yeah.
People are like, oh wait, this thing was kind of a house. This is like, there's some really cool shit in here. if only, like, you know, maybe we could have gotten past some of the flavor stuff initially. Like, I don't know. I've had a lot of fun playing these cards.
Me too. I think they are so, like, there is a lot of thought and care that went into
Yes.
them. Like, you can tell that by, like, okay, if you play Edward as a commander, all of the other pirates fit into his colors.
Yep.
Like stuff. Oh, Loyal Inventor is another great card that lets you tutor for an artifact. Yeah, man.
That's gross, actually. Jesus. card I've never seen before. Ew.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. And when people pop these down, it is going to be like the Baldur's Gate set, where when people pop this stuff down, there's always going to be somebody who's like, what the what did this what does this do? What is this? Where does this come from? But, like, man, oh, there's so much good stuff here. And especially those starter kits with the exclusive cards they have,
Yeah.
ridiculous.
Those, when we picked those up, we didn't even know that there were like the exclusive cards in it. We were just like, oh yeah, like this looks like a very fun way to spend an evening for $20. And there's a lot of fun little unique designs in here. And again, Battlefield Improvisation.
Oh, Battlefield
Gross.
Improvisation. It's so good. And even other stuff like Labyrinth Adversary, like put that in a Minotaur deck.
Yeah.
Surtur, Fiery Jotun is awesome in Warriors and Kaldheim shit. I have Merciless Harlequin in, I think, both of my kind of Ravnica themey decks.
Yeah.
Like,
The
I
roof.
just, when people make fun of this set, or they're like, oh, it's not various, I'm just like, I don't know what to say. Like, this is
Like
Assassin's
I
Creed.
yeah, Bureau Headmaster, throw this in your fucking Boros equipment deck. Like,
Oh,
what are you doing?
absolutely.
Like,
That's just, oh, what's the Enchanting Glimmer? Curious Glimmer? The Glimmer Door Opener.
Oh, yeah. It's a super niche card that, yeah, this is the super niche set. It's got homes. Or, like, Rooftop Bypass. Great card.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
A Tranquilize. Tranquilize is one that's in my, like, ninja thing.
oh, Tranquilize is fucking great.
Yeah.
Three stun counters? Yeah. All right, cool. I won't have to deal with you for four turns. Like, yeah, no, like, this shit
Oh, and
just
I can't
rocks.
believe I forgot about one of the actual stars that people love this set for is, oh, what is it? Templar Legionary or Templar
Oh,
Knight.
you can have as many of this guy as you want.
Yep. A 2-drop 3/1 vigilance that lets you tutor for a legendary artifact card, which is
Fuck
like
yeah.
just awesome flavor.
I want to shout out Towering View.
Towering View.
It's a
Oh,
two
yeah, the
mana,
wall.
the wall that you just yeet off of. Like,
Yep.
honestly, for flavor reasons, I don't think I can put that in Rhea Ivor, but like,
It's like that's pretty good.
that's pretty good though. Like, I like a mana sink for later that just like you can yeet guys, and it's an artifact, so like it's not that hard to blow up. But also, it's a who's running walls in Commander.
This set, there's some bangers here.
I'd go as far to say, in a vacuum,
Yeah.
more bangers than not.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
I
I
think
think
that.
the legendaries are fun to play with. They are made for all kinds of freaks who like to make bizarre commander decks. Like, there aren't any clear ones that are like, oh, this is just like stupid powerful because you have to find synergy with other stuff.
Yeah.
But man, I think this is a set that time will be much kinder to, certainly.
Yeah, oh, there's a bunch of cards with disguise. Maybe good for the face down cube. Like,
Oh yeah. Oh God, yeah. Avalyn du Grand Pré is another awesome.
they're just kind.
Yeah.
Like,
Monastery Raid.
I think that's
Oh.
the energy that I want to wrap this on. Just like I had so much fun with this set, even in like its limited way that like I don't know. I want to give fun cards a chance, especially if someone's like, and I'm like, no, but consider like if you, I feel very like SpongeBob at Squidward with the Krabby Patties.
Yeah, it This is, to me, is more that meme where it's just like, damn, the Assassin's Creed magic set is great when you don't have a bitch in your ear telling you it's not.
Very
like, this
that.
is the Little Caesars of Magic the Gathering.
Yes, that is
Like,
exactly.
I get why people have a just visceral gut reaction to it, but this feel like after kind of sitting in it for a while, this feels just as much in step with Magic as something to me like Warhammer, and certainly more than like Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, and like I say, that is some. I'm not totally opposed to the Spider-Man. I am very stoked for. I love the Warhammer cards.
Oh yeah, those are great cards.
But yeah, it's just cool and good shit. Like, I think that's kind of that on that.
Well, and I guess that kind of brings me to a question of how long, because we both liked Fallout, we both liked Assassin's Creed. Those are the big universes beyond of the year.
Yeah.
How long do you think they can keep? Because I do not think they've been really all over the place with universes beyond, like as far as experimenting with it. They've had collector boosters, but they haven't had regular boosters except for Assassin's Creed. But Assassin's Creed was like a weirdly smaller set, and there were no commander decks. And so I'm curious to see what they do moving forward.
I mean, they're printing it in standard.
That is true. Well, and I know that. Oh yeah, that's a dumb question. I'm like,
no,
okay, no,
you're good,
they're
but like,
ramping. They're ramping it up is the answer there. They are making
they
it'll
are
be
saying
draftable with Spider-Man and Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Spider-Man can punch a Johnny in standard.
Do we think they're gonna come back to this formula though for a future set?
Yes,
or do we think it's gonna be all more like Lord of the Rings, Baldur's Gate?
I, truth be told, would be happiest if they had just kept Universes Beyond everything to four decks themed at like four commander decks, two to four commander decks.
Yeah, I'm honestly right there with you. Like, I
That's
think
like
that is a
just
it,
because
it's a
like
perfect flavor for what it, like, I think Fallout did it so well, where it's just like, okay, here is the universe and all these different aspects encapsulated in game mechanics.
Yeah, like, and yeah, each deck was one or two different games, like all like very, very, very flavorful for what those games represented. Like, it was kind of perfect. And then we have this weird little thing, and then we're going from this being the last Universes Beyond thing of the year into draftable Final Fantasy, which I'm not opposed to, because I mean, like, we've talked about a lot, we're both very stoked on Final Fantasy as a set and as a thing that feels like could be in Magic, but like, it is like, I'm not sure where they go after this.
Well, I think, do we want to about wrap it up there and then pick up in a bit with Bloomburrow next time? Because I have so much. I think we both probably have double the amount of hitters when it comes to Bloomburrow and Duskmourn, at least for me, certainly Duskmourn and then Foundations.
Yes, especially if we want to extend Foundations into the Jumpstart and all of the,
oh god, yeah, holy shit,
nutso butso reprints, like not only just new designs, but like the Foundations set is, or Foundations Jumpstart is so fucking fun. But yeah, no, I mean, like, because when we were like prepping for today, I was like, I'm like, yeah, just like pick like a couple of cards that we like and we can kind of just go through it. But I'm like, dude, I love Bloomburrow and have a decent amount of nice things to say about Duskmourn as well. But like, I'm like, how do I just limit it to three rabbits? And what about
no,
all of the
absolutely.
other
Like,
guys?
I think I feel about the same way, but if you reverse that about Duskmourn and Bloomburrow, and that's my own personal madness, but like,
yeah, I think that I think that we should hang it here and pick back up on our year in review with the next episode.
Hell yeah. And in the meantime, Bugs, where can all the nice people listening find you and your work?
Well, they can find me on most socials at Bugs Matrix. That's Matrix with a Y. You can find me posting mostly on Blue Sky these days because Twitter is a hellhole. It's gotten so bad, man. But Blue Sky, Twitch, you can also follow me and my partner Vi over at Attic Magic, where we play Magic in an Attic. That's a Twitch show that we're putting together, and it's a fun little, pretty fun little time.
It is very fun. I got to catch y'all streaming it a couple
Thank
days ago,
you.
and it was very
Yeah, it
fun to
was.
watch.
It's a good time to just like hang out, and yeah, we play a lot of 1v1 paper, so it's a lot of Pauper, a lot of like kitchen table, like 1v1 like Brawl Commander. We drafted one of my cubes. It's just if you want to see a couple of goobers play Magic and have fun and watch us try to learn how to actually put together some sort of stream show, I highly recommend y'all check it out.
And
And
as for me, I am Jordan Black, of course, Dead Domain, pretty much everywhere on YouTube and most other places on the internet, on Twitter. And I'm also over on Blue Sky. And speaking of Blue Sky, if you are listening, do not forget to go and I should have done that at the top. Go and follow the Podatog Blue Sky account.
Oh yeah, we got a blue sky now. It's
Yeah.
a good time. Come check us out.
It is. I am thanks to everybody who's already liked and followed and all that stuff because it's been actually fun
Yeah.
interacting with people on there.
It has been. It's been. Y'all are lovely.
Yes. And with that, I think I will hang it up for now. And thank you all for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week.
Sounds good, son. And pass the turn.